right. Lord, we just thank you so much again for this day. And I do just rejoice in this time of year as we celebrate resurrection life. And so, Father, I just pray that you would take over my words, my actions, just everything, Lord God. I desire you to be the one that speaks this day. And we just, again, just love you so much and give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I always feel like I have to have this, like, disclaimer because, you know, because I'm me. And because you guys all can't climb inside of my brain to see the me that I am, I'm like, do they really want to hear me talk, or should I wait and have somebody else see if they want to go ahead and talk? So I will first say, if anybody has it on their heart that they desire to speak, then please let me know, because I never want to be the one that, like, commandeers the day and says, you know, it's all about Anne and you want to come listen to me. And I also never want my words to be what I am bringing to all of you. So I always want to go to Christ and want him to be the one that takes this day. For any of you who are here at the Christmas one, I said that we were speaking on the presence, that Jesus is the present, that he is the God to be seen, and he is the God who sees. And so I celebrate Christmas 365 days of the year. Well, I also celebrate Resurrection Day 365 days of the year. Just both of these are not the two one-and-done Sundays that a lot of people tend to show up to sit at the Lord's feet. But it's something that we as Christians, I believe, need to celebrate both of these together, that he is present and he is risen. And so, so I also know that most of you have a relationship with the Lord, so it's like, okay, Anne, we already know this, you know, what are you going to be saying to us? And I'm like, Lord, you know, give me fresh manna. That's from you, obviously not a new message, because this is the best message ever about the resurrection life. And so I just think of fresh manna as, you know, for anybody who's not eating carbs, or anybody who's gluten intolerant, or anybody who's, like, not wanting to partake and eat bread, when you smell fresh bread cooking, regardless if you are in whatever category, even if you're stuffed full, when you smell fresh bread, it just grabs you. And, you know, you just want, like, what is that smell? I want that. And so hopefully it's going to be the fragrance of Christ that reaches all of you this morning. So with my disclaimer of being me, I think this is one of the things that all of us, like, struggle as human beings. Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. You know, like, we live for a perfect God, and we are imperfect people. And so as imperfect people, we always want to do our best. And so, like, this morning I was, you know, the miscommunication of preparing everything, I was just like, Lord, I just want to bless them. You know, I want them to have your sense of love upon all of them. So I thank you all for all that you all brought, because I give the day to God also, and it's always fun to have all the different recipes and different things that we can taste and eat, and you can never have too much because then you get leftovers, so that's a good thing too. So in trying to think of, like, why is the resurrection such a big deal? Like, what about the resurrection? So we know our Lord is, you know, we celebrate him rising from the dead, but, like, it's something that I think we really need to sit and meditate upon, the resurrection. And so obviously it's a big deal because our God, who claimed to be the Son of God, when he died, it didn't end there. He didn't just remain in a tomb. He didn't die a senseless, brutal death upon the cross, shedding his blood, but he rose. And so that resurrection life of conquering, being the sacrifice that was acceptable to God, showed that the work, it was finished. Sin and death was conquered. And so why does that need to remain fresh in minds? I think because that it's that resurrection power each and every day. Not only the hope that we have for life beyond this, our mortal being, time here upon this earth in these tents, but also the power of resurrection life. Like, it's every morning when we wake up and we get out of bed, we can have that resurrection power. One of the things that, like, popped out to me is anything too dead for Christ to bring it back to life. Well, something needs to be dead in order to be resurrected. And so it's kind of a twofold kind of thing. Can I resurrect myself? Can I say, oh, good, you know, when I die, I'm going to resurrect myself? No, it isn't me who's going to have resurrection life. It's Christ who's going to have resurrection that's going to be upon us all. So I think, you know, I don't want to stretch this, but what can he redeem in our lives? And again, it's a mighty miracle of God, so I'm not going to pretend to know everything, but I think it's bringing those dead areas in our life and laying them at his feet and asking for him to breathe life into them. So I know that's my heart's cry. That's my prayer. And so how can I prove to others that Jesus literally rose from the dead? Can I prove this to others? Well, again, I think it's a mighty miracle of God. Part of it's a mystery. Part of it is faith. Part of it is God revealing it. But we also have witnesses. There are witnesses that are in the Bible. Over 500 that he appeared to. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to over 500. I'll go ahead and leave it at that. So we know, like, if we were to read a story today or we were going to do some kind of a history paper piece, you know, we would do research. And so we would go to resources that give, what, the truth of an account of something. And we take that as fact. We say, okay, well, I'm going to write this book about Benjamin Franklin, and this is when he was born, and this is when he died, and this is what he invented, and we would say, this is the truth about Benjamin Franklin. Well, it's very funny to me that people can take that as being truth, but this Jesus guy, you know, he really died, he really rose. Okay, so I've always looked at the disciples. We don't like to pick on the disciples. Well, we can pick on the disciples. They were all knuckleheads, you know. I mean, can you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years, seeing all the miracles that he did, the healings, walking on water, feeding the 5,000, and then they're like, but are you really God? Are you really who you say you are? You know, how do we really know? Is he? Isn't he? Is he? Isn't he? You know, Peter, you're going to deny me? No, Lord, I would never, ever deny you. He denies him. And so, you know, like, again, they all represent us. They represent us because we would do the exact same thing. In fact, I think we all do the same thing because I love Jesus with all my heart. I can say to you, you can go ahead and hold a gun up, and I will say, go ahead and shoot me because I know Jesus and I know where I'm going and I'm not afraid of death. This is what I would say to all of you right now. Now, if somebody walks inside that door, I think my heart would be beating a little bit more than I would like, and I would be like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I want to say, go ahead and shoot me because I know. So I hope that that's what I would say, but I also know that I'm human, and I know that many who have gone before me, I've seen their example, and I can, like I said, I can pick on them and say, oh, can you believe that they didn't do that or they did do this? And just as a side little advertisement for my only son, I don't know if you've all seen that come out and be advertised, but Tyler and I went and we saw that. And so in my heart, I was a little picking on Sarah, you know, and the things that, you know, she didn't believe Abraham and God that she was going to bear a child, so she decided to help him out with Hagar. You all know the story. And so, you know, like, we can look at that and be like, what was she thinking? Like, God himself said, I'm going to give you a son. And she's like, well, take my maidservant, you know, she'll go ahead and fulfill this. And then she gets ticked off and, why'd you take my maidservant? Now look what you did. So it's just very funny. Again, I can look at her and I can be critical on her. But again, what would Anne have done? What I have grown impatient and said, you know, I need to help God out here. We got to go to the fertility clinic. We got to do whatever, you know. So because of our fallenness, we can pick on others, but we can see also that when you point at others, how many fingers do you have pointing back at yourself, that we are represented in that. So what helps me, because I am such a scatterbrained person, is to have my little acrostic. So today's acrostic word, and it doesn't fully make sense, so that's why I didn't like print it out and give you guys papers and stuff. But the word that God gave me was alive. And so the word alive, again, was just to kind of help me keep on track as to things that I wanted to share this morning. So the first word for the letter A was altered. and God took me to John 3, 1 through 21. And since God's word is awesome, then I am going to stick with God's word and read that to you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." So we need to be altered. We need to take that which was dead in trespasses and sin in the flesh, understanding things of the flesh, and be born of the Spirit. It's only by the Spirit that we can then have an understanding of things of the Spirit. And so that is, I think, the first mighty miracle that happens within each and every one of us when we come to God. And he is the one who gives us new life in him. Like, that is a resurrection life in and of itself. We need to be dead to our old man and become a new creation, which is the second letter is L. And so we have life. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 21. I'm sorry, these are like long portions of scripture, but again, they're just so good. And most of that I just read was in the red letters of Christ. And so I cannot improve upon the Lord himself. So therefore, I will not try. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 21. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord will persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not condemn ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I would point you all to both of these passages. For anyone who does not know Christ, like that right there encompasses everything anyone needs to know who God is, why he came, what he did, what we are now in him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I've got the song always singing in my head from when the kids, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So anyhow, these are often things that I think we need to, even as believers, seasoned believers, really, like, this is a fresh message to our hearts. Be excited about the God that we live for. He is not dead. He is alive. I know, you know, my heart always breaks for Minnie, you know, not having Chelsea here, and for Carol, not having Holly and Chris here, and for your brother just passed away, and, you know, many of you have loved ones who have passed away. And so when we lose a loved one, I know the ache of our heart. I know, you know, I always go back to my dear friend John White. When he passed away, I mean, I just sobbed. I just, you know, well, there's several people I've sobbed for when they left. But I don't cry for them. I cry for me. You know, I know where they are. They're at the wedding feast of the Lamb. They're celebrating. They're at the greeting committee, you know, welcoming the saints as they come in. So, not that we shouldn't grieve, because we do grieve our loved ones when we lose them. But I think, like, our society tries to hold on to this life. Like, it's, you know, the fountain of youth and just the clothing and the house and the car and the... It's all about what we can see and what we can touch. And I'm not condemning to say that those things are wrong and bad, but those things make us hold on a little bit tighter to this earthly dwelling that we have here. And I almost, like, wonder if, you know, we flipped it, that we have the excitement that we don't run out in front of a car to get killed and, you know, commit suicide or anything like that, but just the excitement of where we go when we leave this earth. Like, it's beyond our comprehension. It is real. It is true. This message is not in vain. This message is, you know, Christ, that's the other part to it. If Christ is not raised from the dead, you know, we're to be pitied the most of all people. And so because we look at, pardon me, our little knuckleheads that didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, we know that they had the opportunity to just walk away and be like, yeah, I never knew him. So why would they have said that he rose from the dead if he didn't? You know, like, I kind of look at the opposite of things, you know, opposite day. So, like, they had everything to gain, so to speak, by walking away and saying, you know, like, yeah, well, we thought he was, and we didn't think he was, and, well, we questioned if you know, they kept going back and forth. But when he died, that's when they said, go ahead and kill me. I ain't taking it back, because I know I saw my risen Lord. And that is what, like, is an anchor in my heart. You know, when I first came to faith in Christ, said the sinner's prayer, asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, then I started going to Bible study, and I was like, oh, wow, there's proof to believe what we believe, why we believe. I thought we just kind of, like, you know, did kind of skip off into the sunset going like, yeah, I know God's real, and I don't know why, but. And so, no, there is this concrete proof of what we see in the disciples as examples. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, you know, he was a cousin of Jesus. He leapt in his mother's womb when he heard the voice of Mary when she walked in. I'm sure he heard the stories. He knew his miraculous birth from his mother Elizabeth and his dad becoming mute after questioning the angel coming to him and saying that, you know, this child is going to be born. And yet he was like, he sent his disciples, you know, can you kind of like go check him to make sure that this is really the one we're waiting for? And then Jesus, you know, because he said, you're supposed to go visit those in prison. And he's like, I don't think I've gotten a visit from Jesus. So maybe I was a little bit wrong. So it's natural for us to doubt. It's natural for us to deny. It's natural for us to fear. It's natural, you know, I think these are part of our humanity. But at the same time, that is the importance of abiding in the Word, of growing in the Word, of reading these verses that I just read that you're probably like, yeah, I am, want me. You know, we already know those verses. But when you really just sit on them, and I tried to read them quickly, you know, but when you sit on them and really let your heart and your eyes, the eyes of your heart, take in these words and the meaning of these words, that is what gives our heart such joy. Alrighty. The next letter is I in Christ. So we have altered. We have an altered life. We have an altered life in Christ. And so Romans 8:38-39, I have abiding in Christ, abide in the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. That apart from him, we can do nothing. And then also, where's my little cheat sheet thing here? Romans 8, 37, 8, and 9. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the union in Christ is a marvelous picture. You know, the marriage picture is what God has given to us as a picture of us being in union with him. We are the bride. He is the bridegroom. And so that union that God wants to have with us, again, I'm going to be repeating mostly to all of you because you know this, but like we think of Jesus being Lord in our life, but not necessarily Lord as all in all. And so this is something, again, that I continue to tell my heart and my mind to really invite Jesus into when I'm cooking chicken salad sandwiches, when I am in the grocery store, when I'm helping a neighbor, when we're doing Bible study with the women, when we're just every single solitary detail, Jesus wants to be our all in all. He doesn't want to be left on the shelf and left out of any of those little things. And so sometimes Tyler, I'll be like, dude, you know, we didn't say grace. And he's like, I'm thankful all the time. And I'm like, okay, I can't climb inside of his heart, but I personally like to give thanks to God out loud. So that was not a dig on you, honey, in case you listen to this. So, but like, there is just that mindfulness that I know I can kind of, you know, kind of forget to have that thankful heart for A, B, and C, or invite him into A, B, and C of my life as I live. All righty. The next is be visible. Colossians 1:15-16. And I have this and I pulled my little paper out. Colossians 1:15-16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And so this is the Bible study that I first went to and came to Christ that night. How, you know, being in the creation, because then it goes on, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Again, so that preeminence that he wants to be all in all. And then the last letter, E, I was like, okay, what would be a good E word? So the word I came up with is Elohim. And Elohim is God is creator, powerful and mighty, Lord of lords. He is the Lord most high, stronger and mightier than anyone or anything. When you face impossible circumstances or adversaries, know that your God is stronger. And so, putting that all together, we are alive. We have an altered life in Christ that is visible for others to see Elohim in us. And so I'm going to go ahead and keep it short because I did read all those nice long verses. But the hope that we have, the truth that we have, the surety that we have, the joy that we have, I think that's one of the biggest things. My nephew just came and lived with us a couple of weeks ago and was going through a hard time, and he would share his story, so I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't, but he ended up snorting heroin, fell off of a chair, landed on his neck in a jammed way, and lost the use of his arm. And so he came and he stayed with us, and I told some of you this, so I'm repeating myself, but when he came, I was like, I can only point you to Jesus. You know, your Uncle Tyler and I can't fix you. We can't fix the situation. We can't even make you. Like, I'm not going to make you come to church. I'm not going to make you have Jesus. I said, he is the answer. He is who you need to come into your life and redeem this broken part, well, like the brokenness of your whole entire life. And so he said, well, I know, like, I believe in God. He's like, but I don't know this Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I don't know about them. And so as I was going to, like, tell him about them, because I've told him some things, but I'm like, Sid, it's really hard to, like, you have to ask him to show him to yourself, because he loves you so much, and he wants you to get to know him, and you to vice versa. And so, like, the exciting thing about being a Christian is it's not about any of us. Again, I cannot bring resurrection life to anyone. And when we acknowledge that and we are surrendered to that, I said it's been kind of fun to just go along with the ride, because I'm like, it's not about Ann. Whereas, you know, rewind the clock 10, 20 years ago, it was about Ann. You know, I'm like, Jesus, I'm going to throw you in my backpack. Let's go save the world. And he's like, let me know how that works. And so then, like, what, 5, 10 years ago, I was like, oh, Jesus is the Savior. God is God and I am not. And they're like, bing, wake up. So thankfully I learned that lesson, and that's a good thing. God is God and I am not. And so he lives. And so may he bless you all this resurrection weekend. And may we just remember that we have the power of the God of the universe inside each and every one of us. And as we rest in that, I was going to say my biggest struggle is being me. Like, I have lived with myself for 55 years, and I always say I try to get away from Anne, and she follows. And so I just think I'm a nutty person. And so I'm like, oh, everybody else probably thinks I am, you know? And which is, like I said, why I just, you know, I guess maybe I think too much about myself and how you all look at me, but I'm like, oh, they probably just think I'm really weird. So I try to rest in who I am in his hand, that he made me this crazy flavor for a reason. You know, I am the ice cream flavor that had all the extra dregs And they're like, well, let's just put it all together and see what we get. Okay, that's what I am. But for each of you, if you struggle with this inside of your mind, and I know poor Amelia, you know, she's cut from the same cloth, you know, like, that is just sometimes we want to be the best that we can be, but it's also like, I'm imperfect. I am perfectly imperfect, you know, but I live for a perfect God, and he who is the one I want you all to see, and hopefully that's who you saw today. So let me close in prayer. Jesus, you are awesome, and I just love you so much, and I thank you, Lord, that you love each and every woman in this room. You know the corners of their hearts. You have created them since before the foundation of the earth, that you have known every sin of ours, past, present, and future, before the foundation of the earth. And that is so mind-blowing, Lord, but that is also so comforting and reassuring. There's nothing I can do today that's going to make me lose my salvation. I cannot bring resurrection life to myself or anyone else, but we praise you, Lord, that you have conquered sin and death, and we just love you so much, and we go out this weekend in that joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, and you did